You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, coming to you on Saturday, April 18th. Less than a week prior to the upcoming 2020 NFL Draft. This is really a special edition of the show. It's a weekend edition prior to the draft. Couple of things for you today. First, we're going to play for you some clips from Dave Gettleman's Friday conference call, his pre-draft conference call. We played for you some clips earlier in the week of a conference call in which Dave Gettleman spoke about free agency and about some of the organizational changes, about the structural changes, the way the Giants have had to do business, you know, because of the COVID-19 shutdown of all of the NFL offices. So this was Gettleman's second availability of the week, his second conference call. This one specifically related to the Giants and the NFL draft, which is, as we said, which is coming up in a few days. A few takeaways that I wanted to mention, you know, before we play those clips. First and foremost, you know, Gettleman said that he would very seriously entertain the idea of trading down from number four. We know that's something that Dave Gettleman in seven drafts has never done. This is a really good situation for the Giants, a good spot for the Giants. If someone wants to come up and get that number four pick, obviously with four offensive tackles who are pretty equally graded, you know, there's a wide variety of opinion as to who's number one and who's number four. So pretty much any of those offensive tackles would be an upgrade for the Giants over what they currently have on their offensive line. So, you know, the Giants are in a good spot there if someone does want to move up, you know, Miami or the LA Chargers, possibly the Carolina Panthers. Personally, that's about as far as I see the Giants moving down. Miami has the fifth pick, Chargers have the sixth, Panthers have the seventh pick. I doubt that Dave Gettleman, who has said before that he really doesn't like to trade too far for the simple reason that you take yourself out of the mix for players that you might want. So about number seven, Carolina is probably about as far as I think that the Giants would go. But I do believe that Gettleman is serious about possibly moving that pick and picking up an additional day two draft pick, you know, something that he can use to continue to build out the roster as the Giants try to improve, you know, after winning just nine games the past two seasons. Another thing that I have been saying consistently, and I said earlier in the week after his Monday conference call, I'm more and more convinced all the time that the Giants are going to go offensive tackle with their first pick, whether that's at number four, whether it's a little bit lower down. As long as one of those four guys is available, I think the Giants are going to do that rather than take Clemson linebacker Isaiah Simmons. You know, Gettleman talked on Friday about the necessity of opening holes for Saquon Barkley, about keeping Daniel Jones upright, about the idea that he hasn't yet been able to completely finish rebuilding this offensive line, something that he walked in the door at the end of the 2017 season saying that he absolutely needed to do. And he said he would just keep building it, that they would keep throwing assets at it. And he was asked if there was pressure, and he said maybe it is a little bit of a pressure point to fix this offensive line. So I fully expect that the Giants will go offensive tackle with their first overall pick, whether that's going to be Tristan Wirfs of Iowa, Jedrick Wills of Alabama, Mekhi Becton of Louisville. I couldn't really tell you at this point. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, highly respected draft analyst, well-connected, said the other day during a conference call that he is becoming more and more convinced that the pick will be Jedrick Wills of Alabama, which makes a lot of sense when you think about the Giants' connections to Alabama. Joe Judge worked for Nick Saban for several years. Burton Burns, who is now the Giants' running backs coach, was at Alabama for several years, was there even the last couple of years, was hired away from Alabama. Several Giants coaches, you know, have connections to Nick Saban. So you would expect that, you know, Judge said the other day that he'll be relying on those college connections, or he has been, for information on players, on guys that he trusts. So, and Gettleman talked about that on Friday, about how helpful that's been. He talked about Burns. So you would have to think that if the Giants are, you know, in a coin flip, you know, between two of the offensive tackles, let's say Tristan Wirfs and Jedrick Wills, if they're in a coin flip, perhaps the information, the insight, their trust in whatever information they're getting from Nick Saban and the staff at Alabama about Jedrick Wills, you know, in a positive or a negative manner, might be the determining factor as to what the Giants do there. That would certainly not be a surprise at all in the current environment, where the Giants can't, you know, hold pro day or can't go to pro days, where they can't hold visits at the facility, where they can't meet these players, you know, face to face. So we'll see how that turns out. But as I said, I remain pretty much convinced that the Giants will go offensive tackle with their first overall pick. Just a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about. You know, I did ask Dave on Friday about the fact that this draft is so much different. There's so much less contact with players. You know, although the Giants are able to FaceTime, they're able to do some of those things remotely, but they can't work these guys out. They can't look them in the eye. They can't bring them into the facility. They can't go to pro days and see them move around on the field. So it's a little bit different. I asked Dave if this draft had kind of an old school feel to it because of that, and he agreed that it did. He basically said it feels a little bit like the 1970s, you know, which is back maybe when he first started out in the business, when NFL teams drafted players without any real contact with them, perhaps only with a scouting report, maybe with some information, you know, from the college coaches. I'm not sure how much film was available for them to watch back at that time. You know, probably some from the colleges, maybe whatever they saw on television. But they were drafting with a lot less information. So we'll see if that plays into the Giants' hands here. We'll see if that helps them, you know, with a veteran guy like Gettleman, who cut his teeth in the scouting world, still considers himself a scout. A lot of veteran scouts on the Giants staff. So we'll see if the old school nature of this draft actually turns out to benefit the New York Giants, you know, when they have to select on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Anyway, Giants fans, let's do this. I have two things for you today. I have some audio clips from Gettleman's press conference for you. Those will be those were cut up by Joe DeLeon of the Chris and Joe Show. What you'll hear are the clips from Dave with transitions provided by Joe. We thank him for that. After the interview with Gettleman, you'll hear an interview that I did with Scott Wright of Draft Countdown, as we preview a lot of what may or may not happen next week in the draft.
The NFL draft is now less than a week away, and general manager Dave Gettleman spoke to the media yet again twice in 1 week. As you might assume, a major storyline for the Giants is the possibility of them trading back, with quarterback needy teams wanting to hop up to take Tua Tagovailoa of Alabama or Justin Herbert of Oregon. Puts the Giants in a really good opportunity at four for one of those teams to trade up into that spot. The media, of course, asked questions about the Giants' possibility of trading and also how they might approach it.
We're sitting there with the fourth pick of the draft. It's going to happen pretty soon. And, I'm going to make calls. And I'm going to, anybody that wants to move up, I'm going to say, listen, we don't have much time. We can't fool around. And I'd like to get the parameters of deals in place, of the deal in place before we get on the clock. That would be the best thing. We're going to, the NFL is going to have a mock draft on Monday. I'm sure you guys are aware of that. And so that'll be an interesting thing. And to see how it works. And again, it's a matter of, it's really the biggest piece is making sure that we, meaning the Giants, are coordinated in how we're going to approach the draft. The trade process. And, we'll have two veteran guys on it. So I think we'll be fine. Obviously, as you get, once you hit the third round, you only got 5 minutes. It's going to be tight to try to do that. So, to try to trade back or trade up. So we're going to, and I think what's going to happen, what this is going to force everybody to do, is do deals before they're picked up. So let's say for the sake of discussion, someone calls. One team calls another team and says, I want to trade up. And they'll make a deal off the clock. And then if the guy is there for the team that wants to move up, well, then they'll consummate the trade. So I think a lot of it's going to be done ahead of time, Tom.
In war rooms, there's always a possibility for a power struggle between coaches and the general manager, as well as the scouting department. Dave Gettleman was asked about who the final decision would come down to if there wasn't an agreement on who to take at a various pick. Gettleman squashed that possibility of him having the final decision, but rather it being a New York Giants decision.
It's a New York Giants decision. That's what it is. It's completely collaborative. We're not, we don't have a, we just talk it through. That's all there is to it. We just talk it through. And, this is my, 8th, 9th draft, and I've never had a problem, a big difference of opinion with a head coach yet. We talked it through. We've, discussed it. It's about coming to a consensus. We're not arm wrestling to decide who gets their way. None of that stuff. It's a consensus. It's collaboration. And that's the best situation you can have.
Addressing the offensive line is yet again a pressing issue for this Giants roster, and Dave Gettleman spoke a ton about the tackle class and also seeking versatility not being a major concern when drafting tackles.
Versatility certainly doesn't hurt, but it's a thick group. I think I mentioned it on Monday. There are tackles throughout the draft. Throughout our vertical. There's a lot of talent there. And is it helpful if a guy's played both? Absolutely. Is it fatal if he's only played one? Certainly not. If you have a tackle need and need needs value, then you work through it. And you just look at, you just say to yourself, this is a good tackle, whether he's a left or a right. And you think, this is no different than any other position. It's a good corner, whether he's a right or left, or a good linebacker, whatever, you just take the guy. So to answer your question, versatility is really a plus, but it's not fatal if a guy's not. Well, again, Paul, you know my theory. It's very, very difficult for, Saquon to run the ball if he doesn't have holes, and it's going to be difficult for Daniel to throw the ball when he's on his back. So we'll continue to build and the offensive line. Is it a pressure point? To a degree. I'm not going to deny that. But it's about getting the right guys. It's about not panicking. Like I've said before, You know, we think that Nick Gates has a bright future as an offensive lineman. We, you know, we like those Spencer Pulley's done good work for us, you know, at center. You know, P.O. is coming back, and hopefully he'll be ready to go with, you know, he'll be okay. He'll be recovered from the Achilles by June. So, you know, we're just going to keep working at it. And Paul, it's you know, obviously it's, you know, Joe and I are of the same mentality that really and truly the offensive line sets the tone for the team. It really does. I think of all the teams that I've been with, that have gone to Super Bowls, and the offensive lines were the tone setters. You know, you think of those of the offensive line in 7 and 11 when we beat the Patriots. Okay. Those groups set the tone. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure we replicate that.
Isaiah Simmons, outside linebacker from Clemson, has been a reoccurring pick for the Giants in mock drafts, as well as speculation on who the fourth overall pick might be. The media asked Gettleman about Isaiah Simmons, and he spoke about how there are tons of players that have similar versatility and play different positions every year in college football.
Well, what's happening now, Ryan, is there's a lot of college players like that. There's a lot of guys that because the college game is so different, you know, it's you know, if they've got a kid with you, you know, a young man with a unique skill set, they're going to use him in a variety of ways that maybe hasn't happened before. So there's a number of guys that are being used like this, and a lot of them are, you know, mid-level defenders, linebackers. You know, you've seen that some, you know, they're mixing and matching their defensive linemen as not only in a 3-point, but also, you know, standing up as a 2-point. So there's a lot of versatility going on, a lot of different ways that people are using players that is not standard, not what I grew up with, that's for sure. Okay, and you're seeing it more. So it's up to us to figure out, you know, how that player who's been in what you're saying to me is an unconventional position, it's up to us to figure out how he fits the New York Football Giants.
This year's draft process in 2020 is so far from the typical norm that Dave Gettleman compared what we're going through to what things used to be like back in the late 70s.
David Valentine from SB Nation. Aside from the technology, aside from the fact that you're home and, you know, dealing with the technology, with all the things that you guys have missed with pro days and all that, is this more of an old school draft in terms of the way you guys have to prepare for it? And does your experience and the experience of your scouting staff really help in that regard?
Funny, I said that exact thing that, a couple of times. It's just like back in the, you know, back in the late 70s when they drafted with absolutely no contact with players, you know. You know, I think at the end of the day, it is a little bit old school because you're not getting the personal touch points that we used to have. So it is a little bit old school. And I just think that, you know, really and truly at the end of the day, it's really all about what the kid does between the white lines. It's not about running around in your underwear or running a 40-yard dash and doing a standing or doing a vertical, you know, jump or whatever. It's really about putting a lid on and playing ball. So it is a little bit more old school like that. You know, that's not all bad.
Giants fans, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. When we come back, I will play for you the interview that I did with Scott Wright of Draft Countdown.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. so you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, Giants fans, I'm joined now by a good friend of the program. That's Scott Wright of Draft Countdown. And we're only a few days away from the 2000 NFL Draft, and Scott's here to discuss the various Giants options coming up in a few days. Scott, thank you very much for spending some time.
It's my pleasure. Good to be back with you. I always know it's that time of the year. The draft's getting close, and we end up chatting. So it's fun to talk.
So let's do that. I need to ask you, you know, every time I talk to somebody, obviously there's a big focus on the offensive tackle position, you know, for the Giants at number four. And I know in your last mock draft, you had Mekhi Becton at four. I know you have another mock coming out soon, which will be your final mock for this year. I'm almost dizzy trying to figure out, you know, who thinks – you know, what the actual rankings are in terms of offensive tackles. What's your take at this point on the offensive tackles? And, you know, with less than a week to go before the draft, your thoughts on, you know, if the Giants are sitting there at four, who's the guy that they should take?
I still think you go with the offensive lineman. I think that's the way they will go, and I think that's the way they should go. And a good argument can be made for Isaiah Simmons, but I mean, both personally and logically, I just think offensive line is the way to go. I'm a believer in building in the trenches. I think you can find, as talented as Isaiah Simmons is, I think you can find a comparable player to fill that role later on, whether it's Jeremy Chinn from Southern Illinois round two or later on. I mean, you can get linebackers. To me, it just doesn't make sense to make number four overall type of investment in Simmons. And as the draft gets closer, I'm even more dead set that the Giants should take an offensive lineman in the first round, because even though there's a lot of good blockers, they're going to go early and often. We might have four in the top 11 overall picks, and I think we could have as many as eight in the first round. I mean, that could be a quarter of the first round, just offensive tackles. And maybe even throw in Cesar Ruiz, too, from Michigan as another offensive lineman. A third of the first round might be offensive lineman. So I think you have to get that offensive lineman in the first round, because even though they have a pick early in the second round, I don't know that what's going to be left there. There will be some interesting options available on day two. But, boy, for the Giants, who need that player to come in and be a stud right away, I want to make sure I get that addressed right away. And the Giants, we've talked about, Ed, over the years about how they have a type of what they're looking for, where they like to build. And I think an offensive lineman certainly fits that much better than a linebacker does. So, you know, all these factors. And one other factor I'll throw in too, you know, if you're Dave Gettleman, who's the general manager, who's very much, I think, on thin ice right now, would probably be the nicest way of saying it. I think there's a couple of factors that lead you towards a blocker. First of all, I mean, if you take Isaiah Simmons there, you're essentially putting your fate into the hands of the coaches, because his role and his impact is going to be determined by how the coaches use him. It's kind of a double-edged sword being that versatile, because so. And then the other factor too is, if you take offensive linemen, you know what you're getting. He's starting day one somewhere along that offensive line. You know you're getting instant impact, and that also supports your other two big decisions, which were to draft Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. So every way I look at this, I come away thinking offensive tackle makes the most sense. And, you know, I, like I said, I can make an argument for Isaiah Simmons too. And I'd even throw Derek Brown, the defensive lineman from Auburn, who's the last thing they need. But I think he's very much a Giants, Dave Gettleman type of player. So that would be the dark horse. But I keep coming back to offensive line. And to me, it's more a question of, is it Tristan Wirfs or Mekhi Becton than it is one of those guys versus Isaiah Simmons. So if the draft were today, my prediction would be Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle from Iowa. But it wouldn't shock me if they went with Mekhi Becton either.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have to go back to something that you said there a minute ago. You said as many as 8 offensive tackles in your mind could go in the first round. Obviously, you've got Wirfs, Becton, Wills, Andrew Thomas. I would think you're including Josh Jones of Houston in there, Austin Jackson of USC, maybe Ezra Cleveland of Boise State. And I'm just thinking here, who else would there be? Would it be Lucas Niang of TCU would be the other one?
You've got the first 7. Actually, Lucas Niang from TCU, who I personally love, I think he's going to be available on day 3 because of the medicals, unfortunately. I think he's a top 50 player in this draft, and if he's healthy, you have a plug-and-play day 1 starter at right tackle, but I think he's going to slide, unfortunately. Actually, the 8th one I have in the first round possibility is Isaiah Wilson from Georgia, who came out as a redshirt sophomore. He's 6'6", 350. If he had gone back for another year, he might have been a top 10, top 20 overall pick. There's some who think he's got higher upside than Andrew Thomas, his teammate. So Isaiah Wilson, especially because you look at some of the teams late in the first round who could be in the market for a blocker, whether it's the Seattle Seahawks, Tennessee Titans, he'd be a perfect fit for both of those teams. He's a big, strong, powerful guy, and his best football is still ahead of him. So Isaiah Wilson was the 8th one. And you mentioned Ezra Cleveland from Boise State as a maybe. At this point, I don't think it's a question if he's going to the first round, but how early. I mean, we're always looking for surprises in the draft. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he was the 10th overall pick to the Cleveland Browns. They really wow. like him. I think he'd be more of a target if they traded down out of 10. But I will not be – at this point, I'm thinking Ezra Simmons has a really good shot to be a top 20 overall pick. So one of the hottest names in the draft right now, and I think he's going in the first and maybe a lot earlier than people expect.
Wow. You know, the funny part about that is, and, you know, I've been making the case similar to what you've been saying, that for me, especially with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley having been their last two big investments, that the Giants' primary responsibility in this draft is to make sure that they put an offensive line in front of those guys, you know, who can hold up. You know, they didn't really do that the final few years of Eli Manning's career. I think it's incumbent upon them to do that. And the funny part about Ezra Cleveland is I've heard a lot of people say, well, they can get Ezra Cleveland at 36 if they don't get a guy at 4. And obviously, you know, I've said,
don't bet on it.
Yeah, you can't guarantee anything. And it sounds like you're kind of hearing the same thing, that even that second tier of offensive linemen is going to be gone by 36.
Yeah, they very well could be. And not necessarily. There's different scenarios where there still is one of these good blockers available at 36, whether it be, you know, maybe Isaiah Wilson from Georgia, someone like that. But then I think there's a drop-off. And and that's not to say there aren't some talented guys in that next tier, too. I mean, Prince Tega Wanago from Auburn is as physically talented as just about any blocker in this draft. But a little raw around the edges and a little bit of a project, which is why he's going to be a second or third rounder, even though you can make an argument he has first round talent. Matt Pert from UConn, I think, is going to be a really intriguing blocker on day two. We mentioned Niang. Ben Bartsch, one of the top small school prospects in this class from my neck of the woods here at St. John's University in Minnesota. Really intrigued by him. I think he could be a day two pick. And then a really wild card in this too is Sadiq Charles from LSU, who, another guy like Niang, you could make an argument he's a top 50 talent, but based on medicals and some off the field stuff, he could be available early on day three. So there's some good blockers. It's not like if you don't take a blocker at number four, you're not going to get one, but they all have question marks too. There's some talented guys with some upside, but they have question marks. So, but I would, going into the draft, the way things stand right now, I would not bet the farm or bank on being able to get one of those, the top tier or even the second tier in round two.
And I know the last time you and I talked a couple of months ago, you had talked about Derek Brown being a Dave Gettleman type pick. And I saw Tony Pauline, you know, draft analyst, pretty well respected, well connected, you know, knows his stuff. He's been saying lately that he keeps hearing that Derek Brown is still in play for the Giants at number four. And as much as I see the talent, I see the fact that that Derek Brown would be a Gettleman-esque type of player. I just don't think you can do that when you're the New York Giants and defensive line happens to already be, you know, a position that's pretty solid, you know, when you can look around the roster and you see holes all over the place.
And what they have invested, not only in Dexter Lawrence from last year, Leonard Williams. I mean, it would be really difficult to justify Derek Brown in the first round for the Giants. Not impossible. I could probably weave you an argument, but it would be tough. But as I say, you know, he fits the profile in so many ways, and he's a really good player. I mean, if the Giants hadn't taken Dexter Lawrence in the first round last year, this would be a far more interesting conversation we're having about what direction they might go at number four overall. And the other thing too, when you talk about Derek Brown and even some of these offensive linemen, you know, trading down, is there a deal to be made there? Does somebody want to come up? And how far down can you move and still feel good about getting one of those top four offensive tackles? Or maybe they like somebody from the next group. Maybe they love Ezra Cleveland or Josh Jones, who might be, you know, available in the teens. So depending on how far they want to drop down, I think they can move a little bit and still get one of those blockers. But I don't think it's going to be Derek Brown, but just, you know, if you're talking about wild card, dark horse things that could surprise everybody on draft day, I wouldn't completely rule that out. I question if there's a deal to be made there for the Giants, because they can definitely get one of those blockers later, depending on how far they want to move down. And I think there's could be a market for the pick, especially if the Detroit Lions can't get a deal done at number three and somebody wants to come up ahead of the Dolphins for a quarterback.
So let's talk about that scenario a little bit, Scott. I was I listened to Gil Brandt and Mark Dominic on a SiriusXM NFL conference call the other day about the draft, and both Brandt and Dominic said that they don't think that the Dolphins or the Chargers will actually move for a quarterback. Dominic in particular, I think, you know, was adamant that Herbert's not a guy that you move up for. And Brandt, you seemed very, very hesitant about Tua as far as his long-term durability. So I'm curious what you think about somebody moving up for those two guys. And if, let's say neither of those teams wants to move for a quarterback, is there another sweet spot in your mind for the Giants to make a deal?
I think it's more circumstances and good strategy than teams not being willing to pay for these quarterbacks. I think if you're the Dolphins and Chargers sitting there at 5 and 6, we know Burrow's going 1 to the Bengals. We know Chase Young is going 2 to Washington. So then 3 Detroit, 4 the Giants. Neither of those teams are taking a quarterback. You don't have to worry about either of them taking a quarterback. The only thing you have to worry about is somebody leaping ahead of you and taking a quarterback. But if the Dolphins and Chargers don't do it, who are the other options? Who in the draft could maybe make a bold move up that high? I mean, I've heard chatter about maybe the Raiders packaging their two first round picks to move into the top five, but do the Lions and Giants, do they want to move out of the top 10 altogether? I mean, I think that if the Dolphins and Chargers are sitting there saying, we want one of these quarterbacks, but why give up stuff we don't have to? We can just stand pat, and these guys are going to fall to us, barring something unforeseen. And I'm sure they're monitoring it, and they want to make sure nobody does leap ahead of them. They've probably been on the phone with the Lions and Giants and said, hey, give us, you know, last chance, you know, to top the offer if you get one. But I think the way things stand, the Lions and Giants, even if there is a deal to be made, they're probably not going to get a king's ransom of multiple first-round picks and all these goodies. So I think for the top five to six overall picks, I wouldn't be at all surprised if there isn't any movement there. I think where there could be a little movement on draft day is maybe the back end of the top 10 in the early teens, as teams kind of jockey to get one of these blockers that we've been talking about, or maybe to get a specific wide receiver, because that's where the run on wide receiver is supposed to start. Maybe somebody wants to come up and get CJ Henderson, the cornerback from Florida, who's the clear-cut number two corner in this draft. And there's a lot of teams in that 9 to 20 range who are in the market for a cover guy. So I think he's going to be somebody that teams might want to move up for. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's pretty quiet in that top 5 to 6 overall. And if I'm the Dolphins and Chargers, I think they're doing the right thing by just kind of keeping their powder dry, standing pat. And if things change, they certainly have the ammunition and can consider moving up. But as things stand, I don't think they need to.
Oh, man, keeping their powder dry. That's like something that Dave Gettleman would say. Gettleman always says, I think the phrase that Gettleman uses is hold our water.
Right. Yeah. So that's basically it. And knowing Gettleman, he's going to fall in love with one of these guys anyways, and he's not going to want to trade down and chance losing them anyways. Right. And that's the thing. Let's say the Raiders did call up and say, hey, we'll give you 12 and 19 for number four overall. I mean, that's pretty interesting. I'm considering if I'm the Giants, but you got to go in. If you make that deal, you have to say, okay, at 12, I can't plan on getting one of those top four offensive tackles.
Right. It's funny because 12 and 19 is a deal that, you know, for number four is one that I keep looking at and I keep looking at and I keep thinking, you know, there's a possibility that you could get one of the top offensive tackles there at, you know, at 12. But
yeah, maybe.
even if you don't, maybe you get, you know, maybe you get Henry Ruggs and you get Ezra Cleveland at 19 or something like that. I don't know exactly how it'll fall, but even if you lose out on those top four, to me, that's really tempting.
Yeah, and of course the Raiders have to be willing to offer that and pay that price, which they may not be, but yeah, I mean, that would be really intriguing. It almost feels like a better fit for the Giants to have those two mid first rounders in terms of this class and their needs, and especially if they could still, and like we talked about, I would say there's a 75% chance one of those offensive tackles is still there at number 12 overall, one of those top four guys. I mean, it would have to be a pretty specific scenario to get all four of them off the board in the top 11 overall. So it's not like there's it's an unreasonable chance that one could be there, but there's a legitimate chance one might not be as well. So you have to feel pretty good about whoever your number five is, whatever that drop off is kind of a plan B, because there is a chance it could happen, but you're right. I mean, based on their needs and the value, I think if the Raiders offer 12 and 19 for four, I think Gettleman probably should listen.
So let's talk a little bit about round two, maybe, we talked a little bit about Isaiah Simmons and maybe finding, you know, guys later on who could be versatile defenders, guys who could be impact defensive players. And I know a guy that I know the Giants have been interested in, that Giants fans have been interested in, that people kind of wonder if he's going to be there at 36 when the Giants pick, is Zach Bond. And, you know, my question for you is, the whole thing that came out the other day about his testing positive, you know, at the combine and all of that, is that going to impact, you know, I think it was positive for a diluted sample. I mean, is that going to impact his draft stock in your mind at all? And is he a guy who could or should be there for the Giants at 36?
Yeah, I don't think the diluted sample test at the scouting combine is going to impact him much for a couple of reasons. One, to the best of my knowledge, there's no track record of this failed test or anything going back in college, and teams will have done their due diligence, so they'll know that. And secondly, it's not going to be much of a factor going forward because the changes in the collective bargaining agreement. So I think ultimately it's going to be much ado about nothing. I don't think he's going to be a first round pick, but there's a chance he could be. I mean, there's some teams late in the first round, whether it be the Patriots, I think could be a fit, the Baltimore Ravens could be a fit that could pull the trigger on him late round one. But I think he's going to be more of a round two guy. He's kind of in the 25 to 50 range. And the concern with him is that lack of ideal length, because he kind of plays and produces like an edge player, but just doesn't have, he's only 6'2 and a half. 238 pounds, and doesn't have the long arms and the great wingspan you look for. So kind of a little bit of an outlier, honestly, because it's kind of a one package in a different form. So ultimately, Zach Bond, though, has a lot of fans. I mean, the film is really impressive. He's one of those guys that you might just throw out that lack of ideal arm length because the film is so impressive. So if he's there, I think he's definitely going to be an option early round two. And that's a position where I think you could find some intriguing options too. Not only Zach Bond, but Terrell Lewis from Alabama, another guy who on paper, he looks like a first round pick. I think he's going to be available in round two because of some concerns about durability, but boy, if he can stay healthy, you're getting probably a top half of the first round type of talent. Julian Aquara from Notre Dame, who didn't have a great senior season and then got hurt. So he's kind of been out of sight, out of mind. I think as the draft gets closer here, he's starting to garner a little bit more buzz because he offers so much juice off the edge as a pass rusher. He's going to be an option on day two. Curtis Weaver from Boise State. So and then Josh Uche, too, from Michigan, who I'm not quite as high on with some people, but there's going to be a number of options if you're looking for kind of a pass rushing linebacker off the edge in round two that are going to be available. And even round three, some of those guys, Julian Aquara could be there in round three. Josh Uche could be there in round three. So if the Giants are looking for that linebacker and pass rusher, they're going to be able to find a good one at some point on day two.
So I actually wanted to sort of back up, you know, free agency obviously comes before the draft, and obviously the draft is your thing really, but I was curious, you know, you and I haven't really talked about the work that the Giants did in free agency. Did you like what the Giants did in free agency? You know, Blake Martinez, Kyler Fackrell, James Bradbury, some smaller signings on offense. Did you like what they did there as far as, you know, adding some talent and trying to set themselves up for the draft?
Yeah, they did a really good job. I think Bradbury certainly is the difference maker in that group. The linebackers, I don't know if I would have paid what I did for Blake Martinez. I think you could have found a player like that in this draft. But there's something to be said, too, for the veteran presence that he'll bring to the table in terms of being able to help immediately. But my big criticism of their offseason free agency so far is that they didn't do enough to address the offensive line yet, but that's what they have the draft for. I think it's pretty clear that they're waiting for the draft to shore up that offensive line. I think that was their priority coming into the offseason, and is still the concern, but we still have the draft to go. So I think it's pretty clear based on the way they approached free agency what they plan to do in the draft. And you know, linebacker, it's just not a position that they've traditionally invested in. So it was nice to see them go out and make a couple moves there and try to upgrade that position. But I think ultimately when you look back on this Giants offseason, positive or negative, depending on how this next season goes, I think we're going to look back to the draft more than free agency that impacted it, because it's all about the offensive line. It really is.
I think you're right there, Scott. You know, it's funny because Dave Gettleman was asked about that on Monday during a conference call about not addressing the offensive line. And he more or less, you know, Dave doesn't like to tell you exactly what he's going to do. No general manager does. But I've listened to enough Dave Gettleman, you know, press conferences and conference calls to know that if you get him to talk long enough, he's not exactly transparent. And he basically said, in talking about the offensive line, he said, look, he said, the draft and free agency, he said, you can pretty much marry the two. And he said, we looked at the draft class and we thought not signing, you know, a big time free agent offensive tackle was the right way to go. So, like you and I said, what does that tell you? You know, it screams to me that they're going offensive tackle.
Yeah. And I think their first two picks could be offensive linemen and quite justifiably.
Especially if Ruiz is there at 36, maybe.
Or Matt Hennessy from Temple.
Is Hennessy worth a pick at 36, or is he a guy you'd want to get farther down?
Seems a little bit rich to me, but it's not too bad. I mean, he's legitimate. He's going to be a day two pick, and he's right in that mix to be one of the top couple centers off the board. My concern with him was seeing him up close at the Senior Bowl. He's really slight. I mean, he's not built like your traditional offensive line. He's not real bulked up. I mean, I don't want to say he's like a guy you would see on the street, but I mean, if you saw him walking down the street, you wouldn't say, oh yeah, that's a starting offensive lineman in the NFL. And that's fine. I mean, that doesn't necessarily rule him out, and the film's really good and everything, but yeah, not the most impressive physical specimen I've ever seen along the offensive line. That's for sure. But a really good player. And it sounds like he's not going to get out of the second round. So if they want him, they'd have to probably take him in the second round.
Interesting. Hey, last question for you, Scott. You know, Joe Judge was asked the other day during a conference call, he was asked about the fact that there's really no off-season program, or that, you know, whenever teams get together, they're probably going to have a training camp, you know, some sort of limited off-season. There won't be the snaps for these guys that there normally are, you know, in a regular NFL off-season. And the question for him was, does that mean that you have to draft a guy, you know, early in the draft who you might consider, you know, everybody uses the phrase pro ready. And he said, there's no such thing as a pro ready NFL player. He said, you draft based on long-term upside. And I like that. But I guess the question for you, as you consider players that the Giants might draft, does a statement like that make, you know, would a statement like that make you think any differently, you know, about the guys that the Giants might target in the first couple rounds?
Yeah, and that's an idyllic way to look at it, but not necessarily always the case. It's just like when teams say, oh, you never hear teams say, yeah, we drafted for need. They always say, oh, we drafted the best player available. He was the best talent on our board, but let's face it. I mean, need plays a huge, huge role in that. And I think pro readiness is going to play a factor in this draft, even if some might protest a little bit, especially in the early rounds. I think when you get in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, then you're thinking long term. You're not thinking instant impact. But I think first, second, third round, you want a guy who's going to come in and contribute right away. And if you're deciding between a guy who you know can come in and do that and another guy who might be a little bit further behind the eight ball and might need a little more time, I think it's going to give an advantage to the guy who's a little bit more ready this year. Certainly more so than any other years with these unique circumstances we have. So I think the guys who are bigger, a little bit bigger projects might be impacted, but we'll see. I mean, that's just one of the things, one of the reasons this draft is going to be fascinating to look back on, not only as we're watching it play out in real time, but really for years to come, see how much of an aberration it is for do guys with medical concerns and off the field concerns, do they drop further than they would have? Do guys who are maybe projects, does that hurt them? You just go on and on. There's probably 10 different factors that we can look at that could be different this year from most years. So the 2020 NFL, the NFL draft is always fascinating. And this is why I always say I've seen it all in the NFL draft, because every time you think you have some unique set of a situation comes along, and this certainly qualifies. But I definitely think pro readiness is going to play a little bit more of a role, at least especially early on, than it normally would. And if you're Dave Gettleman, I mean, you're not thinking about 3 years from now, right? You might not have a job 1 year from now at this time. So you want to hit on this pick and hit the ground running.
There you go. Hey, Scott, always appreciate your time, appreciate your insight. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about what you've got going on before I let you go?
Yeah, absolutely. The website is draftcountdown.com. Everything is 100% free. In-depth rankings and an in-depth mock draft, both of which will be updated the week of the draft with the final versions of both. So check those out. I've got recently did an interview with the Minnesota defensive back Antoine Winfield Jr. That is up on the site. It's kind of strange. I remember when I first was getting into the business, his dad, Antoine Winfield Sr., was one of my first quote-unquote prospect crushes. I was a huge fan of his coming out of college, and now here's his son who has a very similar type of game. So
Scott, that means kind of surreal. That means you're getting old, Scott.
It does. It was very surreal to be talking to his son because I even went and I pulled out some of the old Mel Kiper and Joe Buxbaum books from the 1999 NFL draft to look up the scouting reports on his pop. So a very surreal moment. So check out that interview. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Draft Countdown, Instagram at Draft Countdown. And one more thing, too, I'll mention something fun this year. I'm going to put up my earliest mock draft of the year. The Monday after the 2020 NFL draft, I'm going to put up my mock draft for the 2021 NFL draft. And some big storylines to look forward to in next year's draft as well. It's just a little over a year away. It's never too early to look ahead in this business. So it's a fun time of the year. Lots of fun stuff coming, not only for this draft, but next year's as well.
I was going to say, draft season never really ends, does it?
It really doesn't. And you know, that's another thing, too, where this is going to impact the NFL, the situation in the world, was usually right now everyone focuses on the pro days being canceled for this group of prospects, which is true, but also, this is the time of the year scouts are usually on the road gathering information on next year's prospects. Blesto and National scouts are usually doing the pro days, getting verified heights and measurements and background information. They are going to be way behind on that as well. So this next 12 months with how the scouting process, the actual NFL and college seasons play out, and next draft, pre-draft process, I mean, it's up in the air, the timeline for it.
All right, Scott, thank you very, very much, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right, bye-bye.
All right, Ed.
Hey, thanks.
Giants fans, that's our show for today. Our thanks to Joe DeLeon for cutting up those clips of Dave Gettleman, providing the transitions between topics that the general manager spoke about. Also, our thanks to Scott Wright, one of our favorite draft analysts, for dropping some knowledge, for discussing the various topics relating to the Giants as we lead up to the 2020 NFL draft. We remind you to please check out all of the draft coverage that we're providing at Big Blue View: mock drafts, analysis, prospect profiles, position previews, anything and everything that you might need, you know, rumors, anything that comes up that might impact the 2020 Giants NFL draft. Please check out our Giants Draft Hub page for all of the coverage we've provided over the past few months leading up to the draft. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Stay safe out there, Giants fans, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas?
Hopefully those leftovers are still good.
Why did I get CC'd on?
Call mom?
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method Hair Care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.